Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas with The Grapevine at SaverLife.com. And just yesterday was the Zoom tasting with Fox Run Vineyards for the wine CSA. And you can get details on this wine CSA. It's winecsa.org. Ithaca Wine Ventures is behind this. And this was the fourth month of the CSA, community-supported agriculture, and that is usually with farms producing vegetables, although there are meat CSAs and bread CSAs, so it made sense there would be a wine CSA. I'm hopeful there'll be a pastry CSA at some point in the future, but the wine one this month featured Fox Run Vineyards. Last month was Sheldrake Point. Dr. Frank was in December and Herman J. Weimer in November. I think they mentioned that this next month, March, which is tomorrow, the Wine CSA will be featuring Boundary Breaks. So the way it works, you get a shipment from a different winery each month. There are three bottles of wine and generally a white and a red, and in this case it was a port from Fox Run, was the third wine. It was an ice wine from Sheldrake Point, and Dr. Frank had Saparavi and their Brut Sparkling Wine, and Riesling, Hilda Riesling. So it's a mixture of three wines, and then at some point later in the month, as I said, it was yesterday for Fox Run. They do a one-hour question and answer presentation, relatively informal, and the members of the Wine CSA and listen and ask questions and taste their wines with the winemaker. In this case, Peter Bell was doing the presentation yesterday. A long time winemaker in the Finger Lakes and at Fox Run in particular. So the Riesling is what they started with, and that's something Peter Bell has been one of the leaders of sort of behind the scenes group of winemakers that do their own tastings and sort of collaborations, things like the Tierce Project. And he had an interesting comment on Riesling in particular. He said that it was a few years ago, Stuart Pigott came to town. He's been around and visited various times tasting wine in the Finger Lakes. And he wrote the book, The Riesling Story, Best White Wine on Earth. And he is based in Berlin or in London, and has been a wine writer for many years. And again, kind of specializes in Riesling, but writes about all kinds of wines. And at this gathering in the Finger Lakes, it was a tasting he was part of, and quite a few Finger Lakes winemakers were there, just the winemakers. He said that, according to Peter Bell, that these were wonderful Rieslings, really, you know, well-made, delicious wines, but they weren't really ambitious enough, that needed to think further ahead and push the boundaries more. And so Peter said, you know, the winemakers left that tasting and said, you know, he's wrong. These are amazing Rieslings. And then many of them, at least Peter, finally had to admit that maybe Stuart was right. Maybe there was a lot more they could do, and they could be more ambitious in making Riesling. And so Fox Run in particular has, and maybe they had started some of this before Stuart's comment, but they had started the Lake Diana series, which is just a more specific look at Riesling from different parts of one of their vineyards. And this part of the vineyard is a so-called Hanging Delta, which is was a funnier term back in the times of the Hanging Chads in Florida in a previous election. But the Hanging Delta is a geography. It's when Seneca Lake was much, much bigger, and where Fox Run is located in their vineyards was the lakefront, believe it or not. And this Hanging Delta, the remnants of what was a delta at that point, which brought in a lot of sediment into that area. And so Fox Run has made several Rieslings, three in particular, with this kind of focus on the soil and the geography. And they have, it's not all one style. They have some that are quite low alcohol and semi-dry, some that are very dry. They it wasn't sort of one size fits all. They the winemaking team at Fox Run really wanted to maximize what the grapes were giving them, basically, and that doesn't necessarily mean always a dry wine. They also started producing the Sylvan Riesling, which is what was part of the tasting yesterday for the wine CSA. And this one is a Riesling is fermented in oak, which is really unusual. Riesling is fermented in stainless steel, and as Peter Bell said yesterday, one of the key reasons for that is that you can control the fermentation because you have, or you can have, cooling jackets around these Riesling tanks, and you know, it's basically glycol solutions in a almost like a quilt-like effect in this jacket, just a thin stainless steel jacket around the stainless steel tanks. So you can imagine this makes the tanks way more expensive, but it allows them to stop fermentations when they want to, and you can't do that in a barrel. And he also was very clear, these are older barrels. The idea is you don't want the oakiness. He said it's really done for texture, the mouth texture. And so ideally you should open the Sylvan Riesling alongside another Riesling or two so that you can get a sense for whether that mouth texture, mouth feel, whether it's something you appreciate and recognize, or maybe doesn't, you can't tell the difference. So having a couple Rieslings open side by side is kind of an ideal way to try to figure out what Peter's working on and what he's doing with the Sylvan Riesling. A little less in the way of aromatics, according to Peter, but really looking for the mouthfeel to be a bit different. And so the Sylvan Riesling available at Fox Run, you should get a bottle or two, and Rieslings are particularly good as they age. So if you haven't had an older Riesling, you should look for one. Some wineries sell library wine. Sheldrake Point in particular, when they did their tasting a month ago, they were doing it from their tasting room, and they talked a little bit about the older wines that were on the shelves there at their tasting room. And they have some pretty old wines, Sheldrake Point, some of their earlier wines that are available for purchase. And again, that's a way to learn more about how beautifully these wines age. So that's pretty unusual. I haven't seen any tasting rooms in the Finger Lakes or not many elsewhere that have older library wines for sale. And really not any as or as many as older wines as what Sheldrick Point has. So good excuse to go visit their tasting room and check out some of their wines. And instead of only, you know, buying extra Riesling and putting it in the cellar for 10 years and waiting to taste it, you can taste some of these older wines and compare them right now. And Sheldrick's gone through and tasted these, so they have a pretty good idea of what's in these bottles. They're not just kind of the remnants that they're selling off. If there were wines that weren't very good, then they're not going to put them in the tasting room, and they probably ended up getting rid of the, of any that you know, vintages or something that just didn't hold up. And it can vary a lot. Peter Bell was talking about a couple of vintages which were just an incredible struggle for the winemakers, and said that, you know, the advances in grape growing and trellising and just maintaining the vineyards has really made a huge difference in the ability to ripen grapes and to produce more consistent wines. I think he mentioned the year 2000 was especially challenging, and at that point it was the Cabernet Franc, I think, that he said was just not ripe enough. The weather didn't cooperate, and so that was one of the poor vintages that he remembers, especially for red wine. It does kind of vary, sort of inversely, the vintages that are great for red wine are sometimes too warm for Riesling here in the Finger Lakes. And I would say too warm, they can still produce the Riesling, it's still delicious Riesling, it just may not be exactly what the winemaker wants in terms of acidity and sugar. And the when it's cool and maybe more ideal for the Riesling and sparkling wines, then the red wines struggle a bit to ripen. And so the years tend to go back and forth that way a little bit, keeping things interesting for the winemakers, keeping them on their toes. It is fairly unpredictable weather here compared to many other winemaking regions of the world. California in particular, fairly predictable in general, and the Finger Lakes is highly variable year to year. It keeps things challenging for the winemakers in the Finger Lakes. We also tasted port from Fox Run. They make two of those. One is a tawny port, which is aged more and costs quite a bit more. And then their ruby port, and they, I guess because they've been making it so long, I didn't realize this, they've been making port for enough years that they were kind of grandfathered in to the regulations that you have to call it a port style wine, because a port is a protected name. I didn't realize they could be grandfathered in if they're making port before those regulations and guidelines were issued. So they make two ports at Fox Run, and Peter Bell said that one of the things he's proud of, and they not always the case with port, probably especially not with inexpensive ports, is that they use a grape distillate to, which is how they fortify the port, to stop the fermentation. And that means that they don't need to add sugar. So one strategy for getting higher alcohol content is that you ferment it dry and then add sugar. They stop the fermentation with this grape distillate, which is basically the high alcohol kills the yeast, and it's a delicious port in half-size bottles, and they do sometimes run out of one or both of those ports. So if you enjoy port, you should try both of these from Fox Run, and then get a few extra bottles if you really enjoy it, because they don't always have it. So they're going to Wine CSA. Boundary breaks will be the theme for March, and looking forward to probably Bruce Murray, the owner, will probably be doing the Zoom presentation the end of March. So you can sign up now through early March. Well, tomorrow is early March, but you have a couple weeks to sign up for the Wine CSA. It's about, I was like $85, and the wines that are shipped, I would say in general, from the 3 months that I've been participating, you get wines that are the retail often for more than that, the $80 or $85, and you get them shipped to you. So it's the wineries are trying to highlight some of the more interesting wines. It's a way to engage with people who are more interested in wine than the average person who would, by joining this Wine CSA, and I think a really good deal. But also, I did it partly because I just wanted to see how this worked and which wineries they were featuring, and wanted to listen to some of the winemakers, Dave Breeden from Sheldrake Point, Megan Frank did the presentation, or Dr. Frank. So it's a chance to connect with the wineries one each month, and especially important to do it during this pandemic when it's harder to get to tasting rooms. It's maybe less likely that you will meet the owners and winemakers, just as they are, because they're busy making wine, but also just with the restrictions and things for this pandemic, there are fewer people in the tasting room. Not all wineries are offering tastings, and if you are going somewhere because you want to taste wine, I would call and check about making appointments, seeing what the guidelines they have, just because they're changing so much, which is really out of the winery's control, just as it is out of the restaurant's control. They're just trying to react as these changes happen, and happen fairly frequently. So again, if you were to just go on a random trip around the Finger Lakes or Western New York and visit Arrowhead Spring Vineyards, for example, you'd find some of the wineries are open for only bottle sales. Some have tastings available as weather starts to get warmer, which it is this week, not permanently, but it will be somewhat warmer this week. Then there'll be more outdoor options for tastings. And there are a few wineries that are just closed for the winter. A few, not too many. Most are open, and just maybe not every day, or more limited hours, or again, just for bottle sales. But online, the wineries have been selling quite a bit of wine online. They periodically have deals for shipping. Some of them, if you buy a case, you sort of automatically become a member of their wine clubs. So a few reasons to maybe consider having some wine shipped to you, or sending some wine to family, friends, someone that you want to thank for something or let them know you're thinking about them, you can send a couple bottles of wine. You can send six. You can send a case. And as I've said many times before, the wines are so different that you can have a really interesting mixed case from one winery where you have a couple super dry white wines, a semi-dry, a sparkling wine, a dry rosé, several different types of red wines, maybe ice wine, or if it's Hunt Country Vineyards, a cream sherry, or late harvest wines, port, as in the case of Fox Run, maybe some varieties that family or friends have never heard of, like Arcetzatelli or Saperavi or Zweigelt, or there's a long list of unusual varieties now being produced in the Finger Lakes. So it's a you can have a fun mixed case. Now, it's not a slam on Burgundy, for example, but Burgundy, a mixed case from a winery, is going to be several Chardonnays and several Pinot Noirs, and they'll be amazing wines. But the diversity of what's made in the Finger Lakes and in New York State is part of what I think makes it such a fascinating region. So I'm kind of glad that we're not locked into two varietals, and really those two varietals are made in the same style all over Burgundy, pretty much. Now, I'm not a Burgundy expert. I barely delved into Burgundy very much, but that's my impression, that it's mainly Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. And again, they've been making them for hundreds of years, and that kind of tradition is to be celebrated, and it's an amazing story. But we don't have those traditions here in the U.S. in general, in New York State, and that really allows more experimentation, more diversity of wines and grapes. So, just take Riesling, for example. Riesling, you can find dry, semi-dry, really sweet, late harvest, ice wine, sparkling wine, all made from Riesling. A few, like the Sylvan Riesling, actually fermented in oak, or maybe some aged in oak a little bit. That's just one variety of grape, and you have, probably a dozen different styles of Riesling that are available in the Finger Lakes. And, there's really only one style of Chardonnay that's available in Burgundy. It's dry Chardonnay and dry Pinot Noir. And so it's not just that we have many different grapes, it's that the ones that do really well here are so versatile, Riesling in particular. Again, you can send a really fun mix of six bottles or 12 bottles, or just three, to a family friend or relative, and maybe it's someone who used to live here, maybe it's someone you want to reconnect with. Send them a taste of New York State, and they'll have some fun trying these wines. If you want any suggestions, or if you have trouble finding a winery that ships to a specific state, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back next Saturday with Gardening Restaurants, Discover the Finger Lakes. Enjoy your weekend. Michael Warren Thomas here at saverlife.com. Have a great day.